Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to SRF Limited Q1 FY16 earnings conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gaurav Jain, VP Institutional Equity Sales. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Aman. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We would like to welcome the management of SRF Limited and thank them for giving us this opportunity to host this call. We have with us today from the management, Mr. Rajendra Prasad, President and CFO, Mr. Rahul Jain, Senior VP Finance, Controller and Treasurer, and Mr. Mukund Trivedi, Head Corporate Communication. Without much ado, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Trivedi for his opening remark, and then we'll take it up in the Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on SRF Limited's Q1 FY16 results conference call. We will begin this call with brief opening remarks from our President and CFO, Mr. Rajendra Prasad, following which we'll have the forum open for an interactive question-and-answer session. Before we begin this call, I would like to point out that some statements made in this call may be forward-looking, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the earnings presentation shared with you earlier. I would now like to invite Mr. Prasad to make his opening remarks.
Good afternoon, everyone who's on the call, and thank you for taking time off to be here. First, I'll give you a bulleted overview of the quarter business-wise, and then we will have the floor open for Q&A session, where I would be glad to address any queries that you may have. The first thing I'd like to, in the overview I'll cover, is our points which affect the whole company, and then I'll take them up business-wise. The board yesterday approved three separate CapEx proposals aggregating 394 crores. I will dwell upon the details a little later in the call. In addition, the board also approved an interim dividend at the rate of 50%, amounting to rupees 5 per share, and this has been our practice for the last almost 10 years, where we distribute dividend, interim dividend twice a year. Now, I'll take up the broad themes so that you are able to form a cogent story in your mind business-wise. So first, overall, the overseas units have started to perform as per expectations and as what we have been reiterating in the past as well, the new units. The trend is now actually quite well established as regards the overseas businesses. You would recall that in March 2014, there was a loss from overseas units of about 70-odd crores, which was 5 crores in March 2015, and this quarter it has turned in black. South Africa, in particular, is coming into its own, and its plant is doing rather well. We, as expected, continue to announce CapExes. All businesses reflect a steady performance and growth. Other major change that we have made, which you will appreciate, is that from this quarter onwards, we've started publishing consolidated results. While this is not required by statute, we have still decided to do so because a substantial part of our business is now overseas. Also, you will appreciate that it takes a lot of effort and on a tight time schedule to get overseas units, the results covered by limited review to be able to consolidate. The second point in this regard is that we will continue to publish the standalone results at least for four quarters so that the analysts can make a smooth transition from standalone results into consolidated results. So the company's view was that because quarterly results were not shown to the investors and to the public at large for every quarter, it is only fair that they have standalone results to compare previous results with. Now, coming to fluorochemicals business, Pharma 134A facility CAPEX has been announced. This is a sequel to the Dymel acquisition that we had done, and we had said that we will put up a facility in Dahej to produce Dymel MDI, which the CAPEX has now been announced. It's about 26 crores. There is, everybody is now aware that R22 is in the process of getting phased out, even though the sunset or the dusk is rather long. It will get phased out by 2030, and in preparation of that, we announced a CAPEX of R32, which is a gas which we believe will replace R22. R22 in the industry will get replaced by two gases, likely to get replaced by two gases, R32 and R410A. And 410A is a blend which also contains R32 in 1:1 ratio with R125. So, whichever way R22 gets replaced, either by 32 alone or by 410A, R32 will find place in both the replacements. So, we've announced that we will modify the plant, R134A plant that we had at Diwali, the old plant. We will modify it to make it a swing plant so that it can make 134A also and make R32. And this is what we had actually stated maybe 2 years ago when we were setting up the new R134A plant at Bhiwadi, at Dahej. So people at that time asked that what are you going to do with the old plant, and we had said we have 2-3 options. One of the options was to convert it to 32. So we are making a swing plant for which a CAPEX has also been announced of 12 crores. I have mentioned that by 2030, R22 would not be used at all for cooling purposes. SRF's R22 production is not likely to be impacted, even though we will not be able to sell it as a refrigerant gas after 2030. And the quota regime has already started from 1st January 2015, and the manufacturing and consumption of R22 will go down in steps till it is totally eliminated by 2030. But SRF's manufacturing will not get affected because we hope to be using this plant and the output for feedstock. So one is allowed to manufacture R22 provided it is to be used as feedstock after 2030. The other main product of fluorochemicals business is a set of products called chloromethanes, in which the main product is methylene dichloride, MDC, which has been doing very well for the last couple of quarters. Dymel integration and absorption into SRF is going as per plan, and which is quite apparent since we have also sanctioned the CAPEX for the distillation of R134A to make it pharma. Prices are stable both for R134A technical grade, which is used for cooling, and for pharma grades. So as far as fluorochemicals business is concerned, these are the key points I would like you to know. The next is specialty chemicals business. Globally, the agrochemical industry is facing a slowdown for a variety of reasons. Either it is because of seasonal changes or cropping patterns, but the fact is that agrochemicals business is facing a slowdown globally, and partly it is also due to the fact that manufacturers of agrochemicals are holding inventories and they are now trying to get rid of them before the demand starts again. But I would like to communicate to the investors that the long-term story of specialty chemicals is very much intact. In fact, I have been mentioning this in every call that specialty chemicals is not a quarter-on-quarter business, but it is a year-on-year business. And as we get into this business deeper and deeper, sorry, it appears that it is even a longer-term business and play than just viewing it on a year-on-year basis. What makes us confident is what indicators are there that the long-term play is very much intact, and in fact it is improving, is because our R&D capabilities remain pretty much firm and they are on the upswing with more and more products which are being considered, more and more products which are coming into the funnel, and more products we plan to launch during the year. This quarter, in our view, is a deferment of demand from one quarter to another. Additions to molecules in the funnel is very encouraging. We plan to add, as we have mentioned earlier also, 2 to 3 dedicated plants during the year. And as you all know, that we add a dedicated plant only when we see enough visibility for that product. As volumes increase out of the Dahej site, the fixed overheads naturally will get distributed, which will increase our per ton margins as we go along. Other thing that gives us a lot of comfort is our strategic relationships with our customers are becoming stronger and deeper, and we are getting engaged with those customers much earlier in the product development process than we were doing prior to this. So we are now working with them on a more intense basis in developing products together with them to meet their demands. The value chain also is being lengthened. So earlier, if we were doing 3 reactions prior to selling the product, today we could be doing 4 or 5 reactions, either at the rear end, it means doing a subsequent reaction which earlier the customer was doing, or going backward and doing a reaction to obtain what we were earlier buying as raw material. So both ways, the length of value chain is increasing. The other part is our strategy to increase exposure to pharma, which also is a stated strategy we have mentioned in the past, is pretty much on track, and I think over the next few quarters you'll be seeing results of this. The turnover of asset turnover ratio of 1:2, which we had mentioned earlier, that after 2 years after the plant is set up, we hope to achieve a target of 1:2 asset turnover ratio. I think that is still pretty much on. And now I'll come to technical textiles. This business, this quarter, has again done very steady business. The performance is stable and consistent, and it is based on the performance of nylon thiocord fabric with a market share of 39%. But the other good thing is that the other units of technical textiles, which were earlier not doing that well, have also turned around and come in the black. And noteworthy is coated fabric, which at various such calls I have expressed our failure in being able to turn it around. But for this quarter, it has actually been turning PBT positive for the last 3 months, and the trend looks very good. This we have done through various measures. We have reduced our SKUs. Which has resulted in longer production runs and less wastage, better quality and lower costs. So that has all turned around and resulted in PBT profits. You would recall that last year we had mentioned that in the Thailand plant in July sometime we had done an overhaul of the polymerization unit, in which I had mentioned that I think 3 or 4 crores had been spent. That was done in July sometime. So prior to that, the plant was not performing in a stable manner, leading to a lot of yarn breaks in the polymerization. which required the overall. Post the overall, the input-output ratios of that piece of the plant have improved dramatically, and that is actually reflected in the results of the Thai NTCF plant. This business achieved a ROCE of 19% as compared to 13% last year, which shows actually that all units are pulling together in this particular segment. Belting fabric has performed better, better also. It has about 70% of domestic market share. It has not yet seen the benefits of opening of the mining sector, and hence we believe that there is an upside in belting fabric. Even though it is doing well, there is still an upside when the mining sector opens up. LF, laminated fabric, demand continues to be soft because of competition and seasonal changes, and it's a cyclic product, not doing too well at the moment. Improvements have been there across domestic and international businesses. South Africa, the belting unit, it is very small, but it is just about keeping its head above water and not something I would write home about. Packaging films, as you would have noticed, this is a bit of a surprise package, and production has been actually over capacity. We are the only company in the country probably which is making above its rated capacity, and our premium customers are actually following us to supply them increasing quantities of products. The trend seems to be looking up, but we are not sure at this point of time whether this is just this quarter or it is going to sustain. But the the exceptional performance this quarter is actually a result of three factors. One is that the there was some international event in the supply of raw materials, which actually created some kind of apprehension about the availability of films globally, and hence the prices started going up as the film buyers wanted to safeguard themselves for supplies. So this was an exceptional one-time event which happened in the environment at large on the raw material. The second part is that because there has not been any additional supply which has come into the industry in the domestic scene, the demand continues to grow. So the change is happening in favor of the demand-supply situation in favor of prices going up. Now that appears to be a more sustainable thing. The third reason is that we have been working on our cost structures for a very long time, and those reductions and improvement in efficiencies have yielded results now. So we had put up a pet coke plant in one of our units, which has yielded results. We are one of the companies where the power cost has actually come down, even though the tonnage, etc., all around me have gone up. There has been a reduction of about 12 crores in our power coming from the initiatives that we had taken earlier. The industry seems to be moving towards increasing capacity utilizations, and we've had this discussion before that the capacity utilization generally remains between 73% to 86% odd, and in 73% the industry is not doing well, and around 86% the industry starts doing well, and we are in the process of approaching the higher capacity utilization in the industry across the domestic sector. Operationally, our plants have been doing very well. Like I mentioned, they have been working at over plated capacities and with improved efficiencies and naturally lower cost of conversion. Also, you know that we have a polyester chip plant, and the pricing of polyester chip is generally based on the cost of raw materials, which may be MEG and PTA, and a certain conversion margin. We have a benefit of about 3 rupees a kilo in converting the chips on our own as compared to buying chips. So compared to, so in relation to the people who don't have their own chip making capacities, we have a benefit there as well. Indore unit also commissioned, I mentioned, a solid fuel, that is pet coke fired heater, which led to lower power costs. It SRF also continues to maintain advantage in its product mix. The plain vanilla film is a 12 micron plain non-chemically coated film. Globally, 70 to 75% of the sales take place in this plain vanilla 12 micron film. In our case, the ratio is about opposite. 25% of, we sell 25% of our films as plain vanilla and the balance as non-plain vanilla, whether they are value-added, whether they are chemically coated, but they are definitely not plain vanilla. So naturally, the price realizations are much better. South Africa has gained approvals from key customers and has already achieved a status of either being their sole supplier or being one of their 2-3 suppliers, but a major supplier to many global companies in South Africa. For example, they have received approval from Coca-Cola for a label-grade BOPP wrapping or film, which is, as it is, a value-added and a value-added film which gets you better realizations. The event that I spoke about happened in China. One of the plants which manufactures a raw material for PTA, a paraxylene plant, from which PTA is made, actually a mishap happened and went offline, which resulted in 6 million tons of PTA getting affected in the supply. So people who buy films naturally got worried. So this is what happened, which led to certain price aberration. The new film line has been announced, and I'm sure all of you will have questions around that, which I can answer at the time of question answers. I think I've covered all the segments, and I leave the floor now open to question and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Pritesh Chheda from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. From your opening comments, you said some of the projects in this for the chemicals business, of course, the question.
Yeah.
You said some of the projects could have been postponed in the incremental quarter, or work could have been postponed in the incremental quarter. And agrochemical generally looks soft globally. So if you can dwell a little bit more there as to what should we understand from the medium term and from the longer term?
Actually, I didn't say projects will. I said it appears to be a deferment of demand.
Okay.
Our projects are still on.
Okay. So
we are not deferring any projects. We are not deferring any R&D. Because we think, because the long-term story is so intact.
Okay.
We see no reason at all to defer our projects and our efforts. In fact, our attempt would be to accelerate if possible, to be there with the plant ready when the demand comes.
Okay.
Because the demand has got deferred. So once this, in a sense, this de-inventorization takes place, demand will be back. because agricultural cycles are typically annual, right, after one season and so on.
Yeah.
And if you, and I'll give you an example. Let's say someone produces a pesticide, and due to certain seasonal fluctuations, not enough, there is a reduced influx of locusts or insects, right? People will not use insecticides because the wasps and locusts were not there.
Right. It will be leading to inventory increase, which is...
Exactly.
Okay.
So maybe the next time, so this is just an example that if you don't get enough bugs, you don't use insecticides.
The second question, on the fluorochemistry side or fluorination side,
yes.
If you look 4 year, 5 year in the future,
yes.
Will pharma be a bigger opportunity than agrochemical, or how do you see it? Or agrochemical would always be a far bigger opportunity than pharma?
In value terms, pharma will be bigger.
Okay.
But in quantity terms, naturally agro will be better, bigger. But pharma is expected to give you better margins on lower volumes.
Okay, and
that is the nature of the animal.
And more value of the business, right?
Exactly. More value of the business. So that is why we are, for the last 2 years, we have been trying to focus on shifting our attention from agro to pharma. And that doesn't mean don't do agro. But agro will also grow.
Right.
But so hence, to be able to change the percentage, you have to work doubly hard. Because agro is itself growing.
And what is the percentage today in our business?
Say 17% is pharma.
Okay, so it is 20-80 in favor of agri actually.
That's right. So we would like to shift it to 25-28. And last time I had also mentioned that our acquiring Dymel brand was, in our view, a soft landing in the pharma space.
Okay.
Because that will give us some sense of what is EG, what is CGMP and what is DMF and how do you handle US FDA, etc. Because we've not done that before.
And my last question is, what explains such a large capex in the film side of the business, which is about 350?
Yeah, okay. See, as I mentioned, see, when the lines come, each line broadly as a thumb rule you can take to be 30,000 tons. Okay. Indian demand is today around 360,000 tons. Okay. Including some amount for exports. Now, if Indian demand is increasing by around 10%, you are adding 36,000 tons every year, which approximately is 1.5 lines, because no line works at 30,000, it works at around 27,000-28,000. So, in effect, 1.5 lines are required to consume annual growth in packaging films. And lines come in blocks while growth happens linear. And every time the base increases, today it's 360,000 tons, next year it's going to be 396,000 tons. And it is a fast growing market of 12%. We believe it is about 2x of GDP. So if our GDP increases, this will also increase. Secondly, Indian consumption of packaging film is far below not only global averages, forget the advanced country averages, even in certain developing countries, the per capita consumption of packaging films is much, much higher. So we are going, and as retailization increases, the use of packaging films in some form has to increase. The public, as the middle class goes up, they want to have a better, in a sense, better shopping experience, better aesthetics, better look and feel of the product, and that is where packaging film will play a role. So it is more of a lifestyle issue than anything else. So we believe that if it keeps going up, and for the last so many years, actually there has been no line which has got commissioned, and the demand, increase in demand keeps eating into the existing capacities.
If I take from your opening remark, is the India capacity utilization now moved towards 86%? And hence,
yes, sir.
At least for a year or two, we are in a tailwind for this business?
It's today at 87%.
Okay, so there is a tailwind in this business and for
yes.
all the players ideally in this business.
Yes, and what will happen, like our plant, there has been some mistake in a presentation which we have just sent to some to investors. The plant which we have announced is expected to be commissioned in March 17. Somehow there is a typo which says H216. It should be March 17. So for us also it is 20 months. So the and the projections that we have made has taken into account 6 lines coming up in the industry in India. 1 ours and 5 more. And that having been said, we are confident in our own performance in the sense we have premium customers. The other thing to note is global majors in the global converters, whether it is Huhtamaki or it is Constantia or it is Amcor, all of them are shifting lot of operations to India to an extent that they are acquiring 2 to 3 small converters every year. So the MNCs are moving into India because this is where they see the growth. And once these MNCs are moving into India, they are only converters. They need to have films.
You should hit peak profitability in this business as you move forward in the future quarters, ideally.
I would say increasing profitability.
Okay.
And if you eliminate the China one-time aberration that has taken place,
and any trend
should be upward.
Lastly, sir, is this a deviation from our capital allocation plans by any nature?
No, it is not. People who have attended my call last time and before that, we actually defined our philosophy of capital allocation, and I'll repeat it again so that some people who have doubts on this, it can be clarified. We had said that in technical textiles, we will put up capexes only for modernization and technical upgradation, and these were the exact words that I used. In packaging film, we had said it would be opportunity-based capex in packaging film. And for chemicals, especially specialty chemicals, we had said it will be aggressive investment. These were the 3 categories that we had made. And this capex which we have announced falls bang in the category of opportunity capex. We had always, in fact, I had given examples that I have a plant in Thailand which has one line, which has a capacity to take on more lines, 2 more lines on that site. And we have said that if we were deciding to put up a plant, we could also consider Thailand itself because my overall cost of production in Thailand will come down once I put the second line. And the same thing I had said about South Africa, that there too the land can take 2 more lines. So we had gone to this extent to discuss, and in the last call specifically, I had hinted that it appears that the businesses are changing. In fact, we had hinted in the June investor conference that I had in Bombay.
Thank you very much and all the best. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is the line of Paresh Jain from Max Life. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Paresh.
How are you, sir?
Very well, thanks.
Okay, sir, you said that there are 6 lines which are coming up, right?
Yeah.
That means nearly 50% capacity addition is happening? Is that how you look at it?
That's right.
Okay, so can we say that, again, probably after 2 years, again, there's going to be a glut sort of a situation?
There is a year of glut, okay, where the capacity utilization will come down to 76% and 76 or 78 some percent like that. And I will just tell you that year of glut in our projection is 2017.
Okay.
Year, calendar year 2017.
Right. Okay.
And after that, again, it will start pushing up.
Okay.
And this is after taking 6 lines into account.
Okay. On the specialty chemical side, sir, now do you still hold by your guidance of growing by 40 to 45% in this year?
I would like to say yes, but I'll be a little more conservative and I'll say as the base grows, it might come down and it could be in the region of 35 to 40%.
35 to 40%.
So this quarter is not an indication for, and there's another reason which I should remind people that when Q1 14 we were discussing, the results of specialty chemicals were stupendous. And that itself was an aberration. So actually what is happening in our minds is we are comparing a upward aberration with today's normal result and feeling that it has not grown well. Okay, so if I was to normalize June 14 or June 15 results, the June 16 results would not be a matter of concern, and we are confident that our annual target should remain.
So this quarter you have grown by 23% in the specialty chemical side.
How do you know?
No, I was just trying to understand.
You don't know.
Okay.
Right. What you know is how much I've grown in chemical business.
Okay. Okay.
But you, let's assume you are by and large right.
Okay.
Okay. But we are still confident to hitting a target by the end of the year.
Of 35 to 40%, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And thirdly, I missed that 6 million ton. You were referring to something on the.
Sir, I tell you, paraxylene is used to make PTA.
Okay.
The ratio between paraxylene and PTA is one is to 1.5.
Okay.
So if I lose 4 million tons of paraxylene production in the market because of that China event that took place, it will hit 6 million tons of PTA production.
Right.
If it hits 6 million tons of PTA production, it will hit 6 million tons of PTA chips, of polyester chips, and hence polyester films aggregating 6 million tons.
Okay.
So that's what created some kind of a fear amongst film buyers.
Okay, but that's been restored back?
That plant has since been restored back.
Okay.
That is what I said, that the growth in PFP that you have seen this time, part of it is sustainable, like our own operations
right.
are sustainable.
Right.
So our lowest cost, today probably we are, our Indore plant is the lowest cost producing plant, polyester film producing plant in the country.
Okay, okay.
And the cost of conversion is unimaginably low levels.
Okay.
Now, that is sustainable.
Okay.
The demand is increasing, no new lines are coming on. Is sustainable. It will put pressures on price.
Right.
These two factors out of three are sustainable.
Okay. And can you just give us a price trend as to what was the, let's say, price at the start of the quarter and average and how is it currently?
Actually, from the quarter...
Or probably even... I mean,
itself. Let's say we would have started the quarter around 100, 105 or thereabouts.
Right.
And just now it should be in the region of 120. Except for the aberrations in between.
And the peak during the quarter was how much?
Now, this it's a big blend. So, I mean, this is not that...
But what I'm trying to understand is the prices went from 100 to, let's say, 130 and then they've cooled off to 120. Is that the way to look at it?
That's right. Okay. Or let's say 120 is the direction it is going, or it is already.
Okay.
I'll give you an idea. Huh. In 2010, when polyester films were doing exceptionally well,
right.
They were selling at 200 rupees.
Right.
Okay, and this 120 is also not very comparable, because if your crude prices keep coming down, this 120 is getting you more margins.
Okay.
So if I'm able to maintain 120 and the chips and the PTA, MED prices are going through the floor, I'll make more margin.
So
always the selling price or the turnover is not a good indicator.
Right. So what's your assessment? I mean, are we going to see further increases now?
Yes, I think so. In margins.
In margins.
In one way or the other, in margins.
Okay.
So we may have done better than some other manufacturers. Is because one is that the market played out in a particular way. And it coincided with our cost efficiencies.
Right.
And we made a gain of about 10 crores also. That is to be taken into account due to crude. The losses that we took in December and March quarters.
Right.
was partly recovered because the crude prices went up during this quarter.
Okay.
So that impact was about 8 to 10 crores.
Okay. Okay.
That is something I missed out, so that is something in the calculation as well.
Okay. Okay. Fine, sir. Perfect.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Paresh.
Thank you. Our next question from line of Aditya Ahluwalia from Invesco. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the results. A lot of the questions have been answered, but just on the textiles business, there was no one-off.
Yeah.
So these margins are sustainable, right, what we have achieved?
Yeah. Thanks, Aditya, and nice to hear you on the call. This textile also, there was a little bit of stock gain, maybe 3-4 crores, which is again part reversal of the losses that we took in December and March.
Okay.
Other than that, it is all business as usual.
Okay. Okay. And on this new CapEx, we expect to generate similar ROCEs.
In which CapEx? In polyester films?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not much of a believer in ROCEs because it's an annual measure and it's a measure which gets measured after the decision of investment has taken place. And year to year, the ROCE can dramatically change, as you have seen in textiles, as you have seen in polyester films itself.
Right.
But I don't have any reason to believe that the ROCE will be any different from the assets that we already have. Now, I will also tell you that our ROCs, that this particular capex of packaging film, there are specific reasons why we have done it.
Hmm.
Look at our situation. Today we have got a plant in Indore which is in a SEZ. Now, from that SEZ, I am exporting and selling in the domestic tariff area. Where when I sell to domestic tariff area, whatever I sell actually bears custom duty as well. Whatever I sell locally.
Hmm.
Okay. So now, to a buyer, I need to give at a defined price whatever the market is at that point of time demanding. So whatever is the impact of custom duty and other levies, I need to bear it on my own.
Right.
So, this new plant we are putting in the domestic tariff area.
Okay.
So what will happen is the domestic demand which I am today not able to meet and I have to meet from my SEZ plant because the customers want and I can't let the domestic customers go, I have to meet out of my SEZ. Once I put up this plant, I don't need to sell in the domestic area from the SEZ. And those quantities I actually start exporting. So I release capacity for export.
But are we at 100% utilization in this business?
I beg your pardon?
Are we at 100% utilization? See,
if I remember correctly, Indoor plant is at 114.
I understand, but we have capacities outside as well.
Outside is only Kashipur. And Kashipur is a different kind of plant. It is not of the same level as Indore.
I understand.
And and Kashipur itself, I think, is at 104 or 102.
Okay, sounds...
But today, the fact is, whatever we make, we can sell. And under pressure. And Thailand is over 100%. South Africa is over 100%.
I understand.
Okay, now, you have to appreciate that this is a snapshot picture of one quarter.
Right.
Now, and the capacities also include times for shutdown, etc. So, there may be a quarter where I have to take a 15-day shutdown. So, please don't annualize these 110 or 114% capacities. But the fact of the matter is that whatever I'm making, I'm selling. The total total production in technical textiles in packaging films in India has been about 15,000 tons. And the capacity is about 60,000 tons. It's actually a little less than 60,000 tons. So if you were to analyze, you know that I'm already at 100 plus.
Right.
So, and see, what we are seeing, like I mentioned, the demand is actually coming from the buyers. with all these big time converters shifting to India. So many of them are actually saying that you put up a plant, one of them is saying you put up a plant, we enter into a long-term arrangement and you commit the entire production to us.
Mm-hmm.
So we come to a conversion arrangement and you put up a plant and you... So because see, ours is not just... One is that we don't make plain vanilla film to that extent. We make but 23% or 25%. The balance is non-plain vanilla. China threat is only in plain vanilla. 12 micron non-chemical coated films.
Hmm.
There is, they don't have the capacity to make non-plain vanilla. Chemical coated plants, they don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so whenever we talk about China, we talk in a particular segment.
Hmm.
So they put up 21 lines in the last 2-3 years or 26 lines in the last 2-3 years. But they were all non, they were all plain vanilla. So once you break it down, into different sub-segments, then you realize that there are opportunities and niches which are available. Two, the global majors themselves recognize us for good quality, easy to do business with, reliability, and fair play. So the organized sector doesn't then want to pursue, other avenues actually.
Thank you so much for that. Just one last thing from my side, that this EBIT margin, I know you explained that it has some one-offs and some cost efficiencies, but still, I mean, if you can give us, the jump has been stupendous in the packaging films business. If you can give us some idea of, you know.
I'll tell you, our cost of conversion has come down drastically. So once you are looking at turnovers of 15,000 tons, I'll give you an example. If it is 15,000 tons, it means 15 million kilos. And if I make a change of anything like 6 rupees a kilo, it is 90 million.
Right.
So it works at that level.
Can we say like a double-digit EBIT margin now is a possibility even after the normalization?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participants. Thank you. Our next question from the line of Chirag Dagli from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, if I look at the annual report, I can conclude at a capacity utilization in packaging films at about 74-odd%. This is what your installed capacity versus the sales that you've done.
Correct.
So, and then now you are saying that it has gone up to 80+%. This has happened in this quarter, is it, sir?
86 is 100%. In the sense, when you say 100%, it includes that shutdown time, changeover time between one product to another product. So what you actually end up getting is 86 to 88%. So in last balance sheet, whatever you saw, you've got to see that it is an average of the opening 1st April 2014 to 31st March 2015.
So the average utilization has gone up from 74% and in the first quarter you are seeing that it is close to 86%.
My dear Chirag, it doesn't mean that it is the exit on 31st March 2015 was 74%. I don't cross a river knowing that the depth
is... No, I understand that. No, sir. So, okay. Are you saying that the exit was much better than 74?
Yes.
Okay.
And I actually, quite honestly, I don't need to say it because an average is an average.
No, I understand.
The point of 1st April 2014 and the exit at 31st March 2015 would be two different numbers.
So typically in terms of capacity addition in the industry as a whole, how does it happen during low crude?
Crude has nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with
this. Again, it's a... See, 70% is plain vanilla. Plain vanilla is commodity. Commodity products work on conversion. The difference between cost of raw material and the price. So crude, everything else is a pass-through. It might have only time lags. Effect of time lag that sometimes your pricing mechanism is such that you get hit, sometimes you gain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if crude makes it cheaper, which actually changes the consumption profile of the customers, that they start using these films where they were earlier using paper, that is a side effect. That because film has become so cheap, because the crude fell, that people have switched from using paper to using synthetic packaging film. So which is a side effect because the price of the whole thing has come down. But crude will not itself elicit new investment in this area.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I've been able to make the distinction.
So this incremental margin will not attract incremental capacity is what you are...
Incremental margin, see, it is not because of crude alone. Na?
Mm-hmm.
Margin comes because of 2-3 other 5 other factors. So margin, even if crude was going up and the margin was increasing, you will still encourage new investment.
Correct.
So increase in margin will encourage new investment, not necessarily drop in crude.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Increase in margin is coming because increase in demand is coming.
Sir, if I try and annualize your EBIT on the capital employed that we have on this business, you roughly come to about annualized ROC of about 34%. Historically, when
it
has...
Not annualize it.
I understand, sir. Fair point. But you will be in the ballpark of 30%. You know, historically, when the return on this business has been this high, how have capacity additions behaved, if you can give us any sense?
I've said that we are expecting 6 lines.
But that, is this like a very, you know, can this increase overnight?
No, they can't. We expect in our own schedule that there'll be 2 lines before us. We'll be, so 6 lines are, let us say, known.
Mm.
And there are various ways of knowing it because there are only 2 manufacturers in the world. Dornier and Bruckner.
Okay.
So actually if you order a line from them and you talk to them that who else has ordered, they'll tell you.
Oh, the equipment manufacturers are just 2.
Exactly.
Okay.
So now that is market intelligence.
Mm.
Plus some may have announced it in their board. Organized corporates would have announced it in their board and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is just announcements. It doesn't mean they will necessarily come. But the ones who are more likely to come are 2 lines before us and 3rd line is ours.
Okay. That is very, very
important. Our schedule as up till now.
Hmm.
Now, we don't think 6 will... 6 are known. Whether they actually end up in lines being put, I can't say.
Hmm.
But we have... our projection for the capex was for including 6 lines, 6 lines supply coming on board.
Okay.
And then I said that 2007 capacity utilization of 76%.
Fair point. That is very helpful. Sir, last point on this, sir. What is the lead time of the equipment, you know, from you ordering?
20 months from yesterday.
But that's for you to put up the whole thing. But in terms of the equipment ordering.
Okay. We have, in a sense, prior to the board, we had already had some preliminary discussions. Naturally, you cannot commit too much without board approval. So, our target is 20 months, assuming that some part with Dornier has already been discussed. But I would say 1 month more for finalizing with the supplier. So, the supplier will give it to us in about 10 months.
In 10 months, okay.
10 months.
Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Videsh Gupta from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thanks for taking my question. My first question is on specialty chemicals.
Your name.
Ritesh Gupta from Ambit.
Yeah, Ritesh.
Yeah.
I didn't have a choice taking your question.
Yes. So, basically on chemicals business, 23% growth, so I understand part of it will be also governed by increase in realizations of R22, and also you would have seen volume growth in R134A. So, should I assume that specialty chemicals was pretty much in line with the segment, or would it have grown then higher than the segment average?
No, it was not higher than the segment average. That specialty chemicals did not contribute as much as we expected, or we have got used to expecting from specialty chemicals.
Correct.
For me, is an upside. Because like I mentioned, it's a deferment of business.
Correct.
It is not vanishing of business.
Correct. But
as a result, if this, I see it as a, I'm a eternally optimistic man. So I see it that if the business has shown an uptick in the EBIT margin from 24 last June to 25 this June without specialty chemicals lending its full might,
yeah,
I think it's a good indicator that the other side of the business is also doing well. They have produced, they have sold domestically the highest 134A they have ever done. If I was to read out the number of firsts, they are incredible. In just 134A. And if you recall, my annual target or indication I had said for 134A for the whole year was 8,300 tons. I think we will meet that target.
Wow, that would be great. And sir, I mean, if I have to read your, I mean, in the annual report, you have written one statement that's saying that prices for some chemicals have started to drop off, or some early molecules that you were doing has started to drop off. So could it mean any impact on your margins? Probably say specialty chemical, we have been saying around 35% margins or 30-35% EBIT margins. So should we see some moderation there?
Ritesh, we've discussed this before also on calls. See, we have also acknowledged that certain molecules will be high up in the chart, giving you high margins. There will be others which are medium, and some will give you moderate or normal margins. But their volumes might increase. And in one particular case, this is what has happened, that we've actually had to put up a new plant, even though the margins were lower than before, because our capacity could not meet the demand. So, and that time I had mentioned that we should view this segment as a canvas where we have a X number of molecules in the high margin variety, another set in the medium, and the others in the lower. As long as the canvas is adequately populated with these molecules, my yields will remain the same. So while what you are saying is right, if it was the only single molecule going from high margin to low margin, naturally my returns would fall. It's obvious. But if I'm replacing it with many more,
correct.
The overall composite basket will still look rich. And that is the story which is looking sustainable.
Correct.
That is the story which is looking intact.
Sure, that's helpful, sir. And sir, the next question is on packaging film again. So if I really see the last cycle, there was this one particular year which was extremely good, which in a way kind of gave you the, if you really see what it, see it over a cycle, most of your returns were made in that one particular year of FY11. So this time it looks like that, given that you're already guiding for now six lines coming up in FY17 and we are already in FY16, in calendar year 17 and we are already in FY16. So, should we see that the way we saw in FY11? Because if you really see over last 4-5 years, the one big year was clearly FY11.
I get your point. I don't think you'll probably see that that phenomena again. We actually wish that we don't see that phenomena again, because what happens is it attracts too many moths to the flame.
Correct.
So it is better that the flame is kept a little subdued so that real players come in and people who know the market, who don't actually spoil the market and so on. So, money never hurts, but even too much of it is not that, we don't want that.
Correct. So you're...
I don't know whether it will happen. That was totally off the wall.
Okay. So this time you would assume that the glut would be lesser so that the pain is not spread over 4-5 years. So for example, after FY11, 12, 13, 14 and 15, these were pretty much subdued years for the industry.
Yeah, so I was actually talking of the boom year in 2010 or 2011.
Yeah.
I was talking about that. So if that doesn't come, then the glut will also be lower. So let the cycles be shallower.
Correct. So you are in a way expecting the additions in the new lines would be relatively lesser than last cycle.
Correct. And not only that, the base to consume those lines has also increased. No?
Okay.
So even if the same number of lines came, we are talking of 5 years ago. 5 years ago means 50% of turnover, 50% of India's demand. So the base also is higher.
Right. I think that's all of my questions. Thanks, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question from the line of Dheeresh Pathak from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Sir, can you give me the R22 capacity? How much do we sell third-party sales? How much do we export?
Yeah. Okay. Now, while you've asked the question on this R22, I'll take this opportunity to actually give you the full industry rundown, because this is going to be a topic which everybody should understand going forward.
That'll be awesome.
Yeah. So R22, as you know, and I mentioned in my opening remarks, and I was hoping someone would ask, is R22 is now on its, let's say, landing glide path, right? Like a plane.
Mm-hmm.
And the benchmark year or the baseline year is the average of production in 2009 and 10. So that amounts to something like 10,945 tons. It means this will be the, sorry, this is the consumption which India can do of R22, 1st January 2015. Against this, there is a production baseline also. So the production baseline is something like 43,627. Okay? Now from here, so these are the levels from which the decline will be measured. So the first decline is the consumption will come down by 10% and the production will come down by 10%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So each manufacturer in India will cut its production by 10% and the consumers will have to cut it by 10% as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's say, broadly speaking, our capacity is 11,000 or 12,000 something.
Mm-hmm.
I will have to cut, let's take it as, for convenience sake, 10,000. I will have to cut and I can only make up to 9,000 from 1st January onwards.
Mm-hmm.
And this will carry on till 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2020, another 25% cut will be imposed on that to 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
So it means another 2,500 tons will need to be cut.
Mm-hmm.
So total of 35% has been cut by 2020. Then in 2025, another 35% as a bulk will get cut. So it means 70% of R22 production and consumption will get cut from the baseline which was defined on 1st January 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, this is for the sale, for production of gas for the use of refrigerant purposes. If I have my own feedstock, if I want to use it for feedstock, I don't need to cut production.
Mm-hmm.
What it means, I can't sell more than 9,000 tons in the year. But if my plant capacity was 1,000 tons, I can use 1,000 tons as feedstock.
So when you mentioned 43,627 production baseline capacity, that is total capacity. A lot of it would go into feedstock as well.
Correct. This is the total capacity of Indian manufacturers.
Understood. Now, coming to SRF, yeah. Our capacity is 12,000, right?
Right.
Okay.
12,500.
12,500.
That's right.
How much do we use for feedstock?
We use about, now we, let's say in this quarter, we've used about 800 tons. So let's say 3,000 tons a year.
This goes into what, you know, what is the...
It goes in our specialty chemicals.
Specialty chemicals, okay.
So now you look at it this way. My capacity was 12,500.
Mm-hmm.
I need to cut 35% by 2020. Okay? Mm-hmm. So 12,500 into 35%. I need to cut capacity by 4,375.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even today, I am selling 3,000 tons for feedstock use.
Mm-hmm.
By 2020, I will definitely be able to sell 4,375 for feedstock use.
Mm-hmm.
So, I am actually fully covered till 2025.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to do anything else.
Okay.
You get my point? So, whatever reduction is expected of me from now to 2025,
mm-hmm.
I've already diverted those quantities into feedstock.
Can you set up a new plant and use that for feedstock and use this for entirely...
Absolutely. Gujarat has done that. So, but it is so specific. Gujarat Fluoro has done that. That it is so specific that from that plant, you cannot sell for refrigerant gases. You have to sell for feedstock only.
Okay.
So if they can't sell for feedstock, it is their surplus. And in fact, many a times, because they have a certain quota which was based on older capacities and this new plant came recently, they have idle capacity here, which at times I buy for my own feedstock. Because I can sell in the domestic quota what I want from my quotas. So instead of diverting my quantities for feedstock, I sell it in the domestic market depending on my eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I can buy from Gujarat what they are producing from a feedstock plant.
Mm-hmm.
You get my point?
Yeah.
So a feedstock plant is specific for feedstock only.
Okay. Okay. So quota is essentially based on the production baseline capacity that existed in 2010.
2009 and 10.
Okay.
Uska average.
Uska average. Bravo. Theek hai sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Avinash Agarwal from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Avinash. Where have you been all these days?
Just here, sir.
Just here. Yeah, tell me.
Sir, congratulations on good set of numbers. Sir, you mentioned in for HFC 134A that some of the export markets, you know, we've added few export markets. Could you just take us through that, sir, and could you give us a number as to how much we have exported this quarter?
This quarter, how much we have exported? Yeah, just hold on. But again, I'll wait till I give you the numbers. But the fact, but the point is that whatever is the export expectation that we have for the year, we'll be meeting that in any case. Yeah, we've exported 900 tons till now in this quarter.
Okay.
No, sorry, this is R22. Sorry. I don't have the number right now for 134.
No problem, sir.
Sorry, this was R22. So 134A, I don't remember. We have that number. I'll give it to you when we are done.
No problem, sir. And this market penetration through sale of cans, is that in the domestic market or globally, sir? For our one
cans?
Yes, sir.
No, even in the domestic market.
Okay.
We had actually been selling cans in the domestic market even earlier, even before Walmart.
Okay.
So this is, you know, what might also happen is that this might change the paradigm of the secondary market. That people will know, and this will change, quite likely that it will change the supply chain in the market, because right now we supply things in returnable containers.
Okay.
Returnable cylinders. So the cylinders have to come back, and there's a whole coordination and logistics around returning of those cylinders.
Okay.
If the secondary market slowly shifts to cans, the whole affair with returning cylinders is gone.
Okay.
So that will, we exported 800 tons.
Okay. Are there any issues, sir, in this cans? That they have to be, you know, stored under certain conditions?
No.
Nothing. Okay.
No. And you know that we had supplied them to Walmart. And naturally, while that particular was a one-off transaction, I don't think that will be the end of Walmart dealing with us.
Sure.
I mean, naturally, if they find it successful, why shouldn't the buyer come back to the same supplier?
Yeah. Okay. And sir, for R22, this quarter would normally be a bigger quarter, right? Because of the summer season.
R22?
Yes, sir.
In our whole company, this first quarter is always the better or the best of the quarters.
So
even last year, if you see.
Okay.
Because even in the technical textiles, the tire replacements take place before monsoon.
Okay.
Similarly, in refrigerant gases, the stocking up of gases takes place between January and April. Actually, January and March.
Okay. So Q4 is actually a bigger quarter from our perspective.
Yeah, for a refrigerant gas perspective.
Yeah, okay. And this 90% of our capacity that we can produce for outside sale, that is fungible, right? It's measured on an annual basis, not on a monthly basis, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's my understanding.
Sure.
So you can actually, what happens, because it's seasonal, you have to keep making through the year, otherwise you can't make up.
Yeah.
You have to keep making and storing.
Okay.
And hence, to get your inventory off, you might be selling at lower prices. I mean, that is just pure arithmetic.
Sure. Okay, sir. And sir, in terms of the Thailand and the South African plants, you mentioned about the improvement in the profitability and operations. Just to understand from a client perspective, you mentioned for South Africa, but from a Thailand perspective, how has been the client additions? And
like I mentioned last time, in the first year of operation, we are already with 35% market share and the market leader. And other thing, see, because we used to deal with multinationals here, let's say Nestle and Unilever and so on, and Pepsi, because of our relationships here and the regional offices being either in Singapore or in case of South Africa, in some African country, actually there was a lot of customer advocacy where the local representatives prevailed upon their counterparts to buy from SRF. So that is how we could actually get leads into Unilever in Thailand and Nestle and Pepsi in South Africa and in Thailand.
Okay,
because of these, if we were restricted to Indian domestic buyers, we would not have got these cross-border references.
Okay.
Because of cross-border references, we were able to get the orders in Thailand. See, that is why in Thailand they are producing more than 100%.
Yes. Sure, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gaurav Jain for closing comments. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Aman. We take this opportunity on behalf of BNK Securities to thank the management of SRF again for taking time out and explaining the intricacies of the business. Thank you, everyone, for being on the call. Have a nice day. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of BNK Securities, that concludes this conference call. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.